program manager in the SQL Server team. And today, I'd like to talk to you about how the SQL CLR feature, which is one of the features that I'm responsible for, helps developers in writing their SQL Server applications. So as most people know, relational databases are great for handling large sets of data. But sometimes applications require heavier computation, and in some cases that has to be done close to the data, or the application cannot afford the cost of doing that sort of computation in a middle tier. And this is where the notion of extensibility comes in. SQL CLR is one of the extensibility mechanisms that SQL Server has. Now, traditionally, developers have used either extended stored procedures or Olay automation to do their extensibility, to write their computational code. But these systems they're old, they're based on CON, and they've also suffered from reliability and security problems. So this is where SQL CLR comes in. So what is SQL CLR? Well, it's the ability to write .NET framework components and actually have them run inside the SQL Server engine. And how does this work? What the developer does is they write their SQL object, such as a stored procedure, trigger, user-defined function, user-defined type, but they write it as managed code. They compile it and then package that into an assembly, which is then cataloged into SQL Server. So what I'd like to do now is show you the architecture of how this works from a very high level. At the base of the stack, we have Windows. And on top of that, there's something in SQL Server engine, there's something called the SQL OS. The SQL OS is a SQL operating system, and what that does is it manages the resources on SQL Server's behalf, resources such as threads and memory. And completing the stack over here, we would have the T-SQL system, which is how the Transact SQL is plugged in. And then there's something here called the hosting layer. And the hosting layer is sort of an intermediary between SQL OS and the SQL CLR. Now, normally when you write a CLR component, it's hosted in Windows, and Windows takes care of doing things like the memory management. Actually, it does that through CLR mechanisms, but it interacts directly with Windows. In order to make the system play very well within the SQL Server engine, SQL CLR and SQL CLR, it talks to the hosting layer, which allows SQL OS to actually do that resource management instead of having the normal way that it would be done in CLR. So SQL CLR will ask SQL OS for threads and memory, and this allows the whole system to play together quite well. In addition to that, when developers create their CLR components, they do so by specifying one of three security buckets. These security buckets are safe, external access, and unsafe. This is where most developers will be writing their code. And when you create a safe assembly, you use only those framework class libraries that the developer division has deemed safe to work inside this environment. And in addition to that, safe assemblies stay inside the SQL Server itself. They don't access external resources. If you do need to access an external resource, you would have to catalog your assembly as external access. And if you need to do that or call into unmanaged code, then you would catalog your assembly as unsafe. And both of these security buckets require a higher privilege than writing the safe code does. When the SQL CLR team first envisioned SQL CLR, it did so with certain goals in mind. One was reliability. The engine has to work reliably when hosting the CLR components. And it does this by, as I mentioned earlier, when you write safe code, you have to write it using assemblies that have been specifically approved for that purpose. Another goal is security. And those security goals are met by the security buckets, and also through the use of code access security in SQL CLR. And also scalability. to make sure that the systems remain scalable, this is where SQLOS comes in. SQLOS has the ability to ensure that SQL CLR components do not overtake the system and then still all plays together quite well. And then finally, there's performance. Performance is achieved, again, by ensuring that the underlying assemblies that are used have been specifically hardened. So in this way, we're able to create CLR components that actually work quite well within the SQL engine. As a matter of fact, Microsoft also itself uses SQL CLR to develop new Microsoft types, such as the spatial types, which are gaining in popularity, as well as the hierarchy ID type. Now, in addition to the architecture here, we also have an integration story with Visual Studio. You can use Visual Studio to create your SQL CLR components, and you can also use Visual Studio to deploy them. And you can actually debug them through the debugger through Visual Studio. So that makes a really nice integration story, but that gets even better with Denali. So with Denali, we will be introducing SQL Studio, which will make the entire SQL CLR development process even better. Thank you.